What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. As usual, I'm Kyle Corbliss, and it's going to be another great episode, as is each week, because, listen, I don't want to get on here with someone that I don't think absolutely kicks ass, and this is no exception here. Today, I got Hayden Baker on the show with me. Hayden, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I'm excited to talk about this new song. I'm excited to talk about you and get to know you a little bit, so thanks for coming to hang with me for a little bit. Appreciate it.
Kyle, thanks so much for having me, brother. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. So why don't we start off with just kind of what I like to do every once in a while. Like if someone's listening, they may not know you, or maybe they do know you and they're kind of here to maybe learn about this new song that if you're listening right now, it should be out. If I do my math correctly in my head, I think it's out,
okay.
Which is great. And the song's fantastic. I've heard about it, but let's just do a quick little SparkNotes version, a little backstory about who you are and what you're all about and why you're here today.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll give you the SparkNotes version. Yeah,
my favorite type of version.
That's right. I'm from Katy, Texas, a suburb of Houston. And the short story is I started playing guitar when I was in high school, about 16 years old or so, and figured out if I want to make any money at this, I better learn how to sing, learn how to write. But the guitar came first. I saw Brad Paisley play at the Houston Rodeo and watched him run around and shred. And I was like, that's what I want to do. All that, you know, yeah. All that stuff. So I learned that first and fell in love with that side of country music. And then I started writing. I started singing a little bit. And when I was 21, I put out my full-length album. And then right after that came out, it garnered the attention of Ronnie Dunn. From cool. Brooks and Dunn, and he called and said they were looking to sign some folks to a publishing company. So I flew up there after I graduated from Texas A&M in 2021 and signed a pub deal with Ronnie and awesome. Wrote with that company for a year. I still live in Texas though. And I'm touring mostly down here, but I still go up to Nashville about once every 2 months and get to write with a lot of cool people. And there's some stuff that I can't quite talk about that is very exciting that's in the works, but it will be revealed. It will be revealed very soon, but
awesome.
We can definitely talk about what's going on with sure. me. Sure. Like I said, I put that album out back in 21. And took a year or two off of releasing music, focused on the writing, wrote 100 plus songs up there in Nashville and back here in Texas. And in August of last year, we started dropping new music. We put out a single called At Least I'm Here that has already become my most streamed song of all time, which is great. We put out a song in October called Miss Your Lovin', kind of more of a jam bluesy track. And we just put out a song in February this year called Just Talking, which blew up on TikTok and has become a little bit of a cult thing. And the next single is the one that is either, depending on when this podcast drops, about to come out or just came out.
And it'll be out a week.
Okay, very good. So the song that came out a week ago, If I Get There Before You, is the fourth song out of five that are going to be on an EP that's coming out May 19th, entitled Growing Pains.
Awesome.
It's about just the season of life that I've been in, learning how to, you know, be a songwriter and also just be an adult, you know, grow up and figure out these certain things. And all these songs kind of revolve around that theme. And there's the fifth song that will come out when the EP comes out. It's a song called Midnight Drive, which is my favorite song I've ever recorded, I believe. So, but this one, you got to hear it.
Sure.
A few weeks before it came out. And it's been a blessing to hear people's responses to it. My one goal for this song is that it can just help somebody that's dealing with grief or loss in some form or fashion, because it definitely helped me and my family process those emotions.
Sure. So I want to dive all in there, right? Like I want to go head first. I want to figure all that out. I want to break it all down. It's like an onion. It's got layers, and I want to break it all down. Right. Before we get there, there's a couple of things I want to circle back into, and then we're going to circle forward. It's kind of how I do it. I don't know why it's weird, but it's how I like to do it. So the writing of the songs, right. You know, we're the same age. I think we're about the same age. I'm going to be 25 in June. I think we're about the same age. You know, 21 years old, 22 years old, you go ahead and spend a year and you write 100 songs. the one thing you just said at the beginning, right? Like the first layer to you is all you want to do is play guitar like Brad Paisley. You can do that, right? Yeah. You can do what you set out to do. Then you want to go ahead and learn to sing. God knows you can sing, right? You write these songs as a kid who just graduated college. You know, that's a lot of music. That's a lot of music in a year. That is a lot of words on paper and a lot of feelings and emotions, right? What is your growth like? Like, how have you seen that growth from song one to whatever the last one was, hundreds of 100 plus, whatever it was? In that year, I'm sure you saw an insane amount of growth.
Absolutely.
But as a kid, right? Like, the reason why I love doing this is because I get to talk to guys like you who get to tell their story. But the other part of it is there's probably some 18-year-old kid who's sitting in math class right now or sitting doing their English homework who want to be a songwriter, right? Yep. And if you're anything like me, you look at that and you say, that's a really daunting task. But what do you tell someone who is young, wants to write songs for a living, and doesn't even really know where to start from a guy who started and wrote 100 songs plus?
Yeah, well, I'll say the main thing is for me as a writer and as a fan of well-written songs, it's all about honesty and authenticity first and foremost. Yeah. Write what you know, you write about what you know, and you can tell when somebody's writing about something they're not too keen on as far as the subject goes. So that's like the first thing. And for me, my thing is, I still am, because like, you know, we're only 25. We're still, I mean, kind of kids in a sense, you know.
I act like a kid, man.
So 100%. So be a sponge. Learn from everybody, good and bad, what to do, what not to do, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And yeah, just my thing is I've written quite a few songs by myself, and some of them I love, but most of them I'm always like, oh, I need somebody else's ear on this, you know. And I really thoroughly enjoy co-writing, especially up in Nashville, getting to learn from the guys that I've gotten to learn from, the Ronnie Dunns, Chris Dubois, Trent Wilmans, those kind of guys. It's very collaborative, and it seems to work best when there's no egos in the room, I've noticed. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's always like, go ahead and throw out a line that may or may not be the one, because it may spark an idea for the other guy. You know, it may go, I don't know about that, but what if it was like this? And then boom, you've got a hook or, you know, a chorus. But yeah, those are kind of the few things that I've learned is you gotta write as much as you can. Write every day is what they say. It's hard to be an artist and a songwriter and write every day, you know, because you got all the other things you're having to do. But yeah, don't be too hard on yourself, but you got to be critical of what you're doing. And it's almost, I think it's better to have somebody else that you trust in the business that you can go, hey, what do you think of this? Is this strong? Is this hook good enough? Is this melody good enough? You know, and I was lucky and still am lucky to have somebody like Ronnie who would tell me, no,
right.
Like, no, that's not, you need to fix that. You need to make this better. And so for me, my story is going to be different than everybody else's, but I definitely had to learn quick, you know, how to do it. And I did. I did learn quick, and I'm still learning. So yeah,
I think it's great. I think it's great. Like, I think no two person story is the same. And that's why the music industry is so interesting, because no person's going to walk the same line, right? Like, everyone's going to paint a different footprint. And so like for me, right, and this is kind of what I want to ask you is, like, you talked about staying motivated and having fresh ideas and trying not to dry out, essentially, right? And like, so my big thing is, like, I can't write songs, but I'm like a human jukebox, right? Like, I have songs that I'm really big into. Melodies are soundtracks in my life, and like, there's different points of life and different songs fit in these points, which is why I listen to so much music. But I stay so fine-tuned because of how much music I listen to. As a writer, do you do the same? And like, and I ask that as, like, you know, maybe now you're like totally into everything that's like from the 80s, right? And then maybe like in 2 months you're diving straight into like a band that maybe you listened to growing up, but like maybe in 2 months you really like Shenandoah, but like you never dove into Shenandoah, and now you're gonna like break that down. Do you do that as a writer? Do you break down and dive into different bands that you may not hear every single day, and you go on kicks?
I do. I definitely go on kicks. Like, I, you know, there was in high school, in college, it was the Brad Paisley thing. I dove into every single guitar solo and song because I love his songwriting as well that he did, and got obsessed with it. And same with, you know, Brooks and Dunn, and same with Alan Jackson, and even more recently, John Mayer. Like, I am obsessed with his stuff.
Me too.
So, yeah, I definitely go on kicks, and it's tough. This is what me and some of my writing and artist buddies talk about. It's like, it's kind of a blessing and a curse because we can't listen to music the same anymore. Yeah. You know, it's not like that initial just enjoyment of a song. You're always listening to it going, ooh, why did that? Why, I like that, but why did I like that? You know? Right. So I definitely do that. And I, my friends and my girlfriend hate it, 'cause they're like, oh, here he goes. He's on a, you know, he's on a Dierks Bentley kick. All he's going to listen to is Dierks Bentley for this week. You know, I'm not riding in the truck with him because he doesn't have any juxtaposition on his playlists.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I, to answer your question, I definitely do go on kicks. And
so my thing that is interesting is like, because I think any music fan goes on kicks. Now, I'm curious if you approach it kind of like I approach. It's like my girlfriend and my friends get mad because I like to listen to records in full. And I love to hear like projects, right? Yep. But a lot of people, like when I was growing up, I'm not going to tell you I was like that. I was the, like, let's listen to this song. Let's listen to that song. And I guess that's why as kids, so many kids listen to so much different stuff because they just listen to songs, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get a little more mature and your taste evolves and yada, yada, yada. But I love to listen to records in full. And that's how I analyze music, because I don't play, I don't sing, I don't write, but I analyze it as like, okay, why'd he put this song here? Like, why did this song go here? Right. And that's really important for me, but that's not important for everyone. But as a writer, when you write music, like you said, like there's going to be an EP that's coming, right? Like, did you put and sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes it's not. I've asked this question before, but did you put these five songs or whatever, however many they'd be, together because you think that those five songs deserve to live together? Or was it more just like a, you know, it's a way to have a project, and that's totally okay too. But I'm just interested in your thought process as a writer.
No, yeah, every record's different. This, the EP is definitely, it was a concept project. So yeah, all five of these were carefully handpicked and are together for a reason. And the reason was, you know, the EP's titled Growing Pains. Sure. So it's all about, these five are the ones that I thought best kind of encapsulated what I was feeling at the time, what I was going through at the time as a writer, as an artist, and as just a human being. And so they all, and I was like, how can I, you know, explain how all five of these fit here? And it came together pretty simply. The first one that came out was At Least I'm Here. And that's a straight up honky tonk, like.
Yeah.
It was an excuse to have a guitar lick, because that was also the first song that I had put out in 2 years. So I was like, I want to come out swinging, and I want to show, like, you know, my growth as a writer, as a singer, and also as a player. And that was the one that I felt best did that first. But that one's, it's like, that's your heartbreak country song. But it was also a realization for me growing up. The theme of the song is, I might be heartbroken, but I'm not dead. Right. At least I'm here. You know, I'm alive. It could be a lot. That whole song is, it could be worse. Let's party. Let's have fun. You know, it could be worse. So that song's on there as far as the theme goes, because it's like, that's what I started to realize is like, the more you grow up, the more you realize life sucks.
And that's for sure.
You can attack life one of two ways. You can cry about it and pout about it, or you can go, well, it could be worse. Let's roll with what we got. Mm-hmm. So there's that one. And then the second one was Miss Your Lovin', which again is like a blues rock. Like a jam song. And I was like, okay, well, what's the explanation for this one being a growing pain song? Because it's a sexy, bluesy, groovy kind of song.
Sure.
And then I was talking to my producer about it, and I was like, should this one make the EP? And he goes, yeah, dude, this is you growing as like an artist and a singer. And because I dove into some real gritty vocal tones on there and like did some stuff I wouldn't normally do guitar wise and vocally. And he was like, that's you growing as an artist and realizing you have this whole other little area you can tap into. And I was like, all right, nice. There's the excuse for that one. Then Just Talking, which was the third single that released, that one's straight up about dating in your 20s. And
the most confusing thing ever, but yeah.
In the 21st century with the talking stage and all that dumb shit, you know?
Right.
Exactly. That song was perfect. And then this one, If I Get There Before You, obviously about loss, about losing a grandparent or, you know, dealing with that for the first time as an adult. And the last song that we're putting out, which is going to be, as far as the track list goes, this last song we put out is going to be the first track, like, in order on the EP. It's called Midnight Drive, and the whole song is about a straight up quarter life crisis. It like encapsulates the whole project as a whole. It's like, whenever I can't figure out, you know, what choices to make in life, or I don't know which path to take. For me personally, I hop in the truck, and it's typically at midnight, and I just take a drive until I figure it out.
It's my favorite.
So that's kind of what that song's about.
Yeah.
And so yeah, to answer your question and taking the long way around and describing every song, yes, all five of these are part of a concept project for this EP. Now we're about to start here in, we will have already done this by the time this podcast comes out, but the day of recording, 2 days from now, we're starting pre-production on a full album.
Cool.
That's going to be like 10 to 11 songs plus an instrumental, plus probably a cover, plus a gospel. So like, it's going to be,
that's 13, awesome,
13 to 14 songs. And this isn't going to be a concept project. It's going to be, these are the best songs I have in the tank, and they need to be out in the world, and we're putting them out there. And that's going to be kind of that thing. So cool. A little bit different there, but
I think that's awesome. That's a lot of music.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been talking to my team, and I'm like, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and I've got all these songs in the tank. And I think if we narrowed them down to 10 to 12, we could have a banging record. We might as well do it, you know?
That's right.
So we're doing it, and I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to getting back in the studio and creating some more.
I think that's awesome. I want to circle in now with that, with talking about the EP and you know, those songs. I want to circle in on that track that is out now. It's the fourth song on there. It's a beautiful song. Obviously I've heard it. And, you know, like you said, it's called If I Get There Before You. Beautiful. It's a great song. It's got a really, you know, deep story. I'm sorry for your loss. I would love for you to tell this story. I would rather you say it than me. Because I think it's translated better, but I want you to tell everyone the story, why it was written, and why you're deciding to release it.
Absolutely. So this was February of last year, of 2022, and we got word that my granddad got COVID, and he wasn't responding well to the medicine treatment. It developed into pneumonia. He had to be put on a vent and everything. All kind of very out of the blue, not expecting it.
Yeah.
And in February of last year, he wound up passing away. And him and I were super close. He was a huge fan of the music. I mean, we were best friends, man. He taught me how to hunt, how to drink, how to, you know, all that stuff. And so it was very, very difficult. And I have always, and hopefully will always be, Mr. Spin things in a positive way, just because that's how I process living and being alive, you know? So I was up in Nashville when we got the phone call that he was likely not going to make it. I was up there writing, and I had one more write the next day with Trent Willman. And I was encouraged by my family to stay and finish what I had to do and then come home. So I did. And I went, okay, well, if I do that, then I want to write a song for Pawpaw. You know, that's what I want to do. So I got with Trent the next day. I told him what was going on. And he said he had just lost his dad a few months back, so he was in a similar headspace and could relate. So the idea started flowing pretty quickly. I don't even think I took my guitar out of the case or my laptop out of the backpack. He was asking me questions about my granddad, about my grandma, who's still alive and well, and about where they lived. And I was like, well, they live on a ranch in East Texas, and it's gorgeous. House on a hill, wraparound porch, you know. Wind chimes singing in the breeze and the hummingbird feed. It's like, it's prototypical country heaven. And he's over there going to town on his laptop, you know, and I'm just kind of sitting there, you know, choking up, and he grabs his guitar and sings the chorus. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh dear God. And I like had to leave the room. I was like, oh my goodness, we're on to something really special here. And we finished it in a couple hours. And I mean, I was just like, wow, this is amazing. So I recorded a work tape. I sent it to my mom, who was in the hospital with Papa at the time. He was unconscious, but he was still, you know, still alive. And she played it in the room with him, so he got to hear it, you know, before he passed, which was very cool, very special. And then I flew home. I got to spend his last moments with him, luckily. And the family asked if I would sing that song at the funeral. And I was like, "Ooh, I don't know if I can do that." But I did. I kept my head down most of the song so I could get through it and made it through. And I was like, "All right, I'm never singing this again. This is too much. It's too hard." But then as, you know, months passed and the grieving process kind of, you know, ran its course, we started developing this project, this Growing Pains EP. And I was like, well, there's no more perfect song for it, I think, than this one. Like, that's part of the pain of growing up is dealing with loss and, you know, grieving the loss of loved ones, because it happens to everybody. So I was like, you know what? I think this song could help a lot of people. I really do. Because the subject matter is very positive. As you know, it's what I think he would have said to Mama if he could have at the time before he passed. And it was like, don't worry, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to have plenty to do when I get up to heaven, because I've got to find us a patch of land and a house up on a hill. And I got to get it ready for when you guys get here, because that's who he was, you know, here. He was like, he was a provider. He was like, I want to have this place for the family to enjoy and all that kind of stuff. So it was a beautifully positive spin on, you know, death, I think, and grief. So I thought it could really help a lot of people if we actually did this. So we took it to the studio, and the guys that I record with, I've known for a while, and they were very gracious about the process. They're like, what kind of music did your papa listen to? And I was like, oh man, 70s, 80s country, you know, he loves that. And they're like, okay, let's go for that route. Let's try to make it sound like something he would like. Yeah. And it turned out absolutely gorgeous. Couldn't be happier with it. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to listen to it or even sing it at shows. I've done it at a few. We sang it at Green Hall last December, but it's a tough song, man. It's heavy, but I pray that it helps somebody.
You know? Well, I think it's beautiful. And I remember the first time I heard it, I'm pretty sure it was sent over to me pretty late on this end of things. It was like, I think it was like 12:30, and I was on my way home, and I was like, it's the best time for me to listen. It's the open road. I mean, I might as well try. So I listened to it and I said, wow, like, it's one of the more authentic, real and raw songs I've heard in a really long time. And for me, that goes a really long way. So, you know, I really appreciated it, and it really made me sit back in my chair for a second and really think, because, you know, like you, like I've experienced loss as well. And you know, like you said, like it happens to everyone, and at some point someone's going to need something like that. And I think for guys like us that love music, that's kind of like our first outlet, and that is the first place where we go. And to have someone who, you know, you might turn this on and say, okay, well, I'm not alone, and that might really help. So, I think it's awesome, and I think you should be so proud of it, and know that he's probably grinning every time it's played.
Oh, he's got him a shit eating grin up there going, I look bet. I'm famous. I'm getting about me.
We just
recorded a music video for it on Sunday up at the property. And that, I mean,
it's cool.
You think the song is good, this video is going to be super, super special. And I know he's just like, look at me, I'm famous now. Sure. You know? That's what he's doing.
I love it. So with this song, right? Like, we know how much it means to you. Like, it is apparent that it means a lot, and it should. You know, let's look back 4 or 5 years ago. Do you expect to be able to put a song out that's probably going to touch so many people? And, you know, that's not an easy song to write. 4 years ago, you're not writing that, mm-hmm. right? You're not writing anything remotely close to probably as good as that is. And I'm not saying that what you're writing is bad. I'm just saying that it's so much more mature now, right? Do you see that growth in yourself from when you were this 21-year-old kid at Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Nah, 25 and washed up. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, that's where the whole, you know, I think the writing what you know thing comes into play, because, I could not write that song unless I was actively losing my grandpa. Which is, you know, you don't wish for that circumstance. No. You can write that song, but it's more of a, we're in the situation, let's make the best of it kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm not going to write something like that at 21. And if I decided to write a song at 21 about losing a grandparent when I hadn't lost one at a mature age to where I could process it, it would have come out inauthentic and, you know, maybe even offensive in some way because I didn't understand it and I was trying to put myself in somebody else's shoes.
Sure.
So, but there's, you know, that's not, there's also songs where you're crafting a story and that's a different thing, you know, but a song like this, where you're writing about a personal experience, it's, those are the ones that seem to touch the hearts the most, I think.
I think that, there are songs like this are reasons why people like me fall in love with a genre like country music, right?
Yeah.
That is a sure fact, right? You know, if I heard this song at 15, I'm loving country music just as much as I'm loving it now. You know what I mean? Like that is for sure. And I think that that's what a lot of people look for when they somehow stumble themselves across country music. If they are not fans already, it's like, they're looking for that raw and real story. And that's exactly what you get here. And I think that that goes so far. In terms of artists for yourself and in terms of songwriters for yourself, you know, this independent world is like, is a tough thing, right? Like when you're coming on up and trying to figure out who you are and who you want to be. And I'm sure that there are peers that you look towards and say, you know, I really like, and you know, it's great that you're in Texas because, you know, there's a lot of great music out of Texas. Who are some of these guys that are inspiring you to write and to play the way you do and to be as good as you are, who's inspiring you in terms of who you might be seeing on a day to day?
Yeah. Well, I definitely am super, super blessed to be friends with my heroes and Brad Paisley and Ronnie Dunn. Like that, you can't put a price on that. It still doesn't make sense to me. It's like, this doesn't just happen. Like we were just, I was in Nashville a couple months ago writing and Brad called me up and said, I told him I was in town. So he called me and said, "Hey, I'm going to come pick you up. Let's go for a drive. I want to show you my new album."
I saw that video on Instagram.
And I'm like, "What? Yeah, huh?" So he comes and picks me up and he drives me around and shows me 15 unreleased Brad Paisley songs. And like, that's one of those things you tell 16-year-old Hayden Baker that he's watching Brad at the rodeo going, "Ooh, that's what I want to do."
Right.
That's, you can't just fathom how cool that is. And the same goes with Ronnie. Like Brooks and Dunn is my favorite band growing up. My favorite music to listen to was Brooks and Dunn.
Yeah.
And I've written 3 songs with Ronnie Dunn. And it's just it's like, how does that make sense? So those two guys for sure are two guys that I look up to and steal from a lot.
As you should.
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as Texas guys go, man, Aaron Watson has been super, super gracious and kind to me. We've developed a good friendship over the last couple of years. His son, Jake, actually plays guitar and, he's in high school. He's about at the age I was when I started playing and he's good enough to where Aaron brings him out on stage and he gets to shred.
I did see that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's great. So I've become friends with Jake too. And we've got, you know, we talk shop at the shows and about guitars and stuff. So Aaron's been great. I love his songwriting. We've been trying to schedule a write together for a while now, but schedules and, you know, all that life. Kind of crazy stuff, life and all that stuff, but hopefully get the right one with him soon. Wade Bowen has been
killer.
Super, super great. To me, he's kind of helping me piece together this record that we're getting ready to record, you know, help me do some songs and whatnot. So just super gracious of him to even do that. And we play shows with him. We've been doing shows with him for 3 or 4 years now. And every time we do, it's just, you know, he treats us like we're part of his crew, you know, which is awesome. And he's given a lot of advice. And I was Randall King. We've been in a fantasy football league together. You know, we're more of like throwing elbows at each other kind of these and stuff, but definitely have had many phone calls with him asking for advice and stuff. And he's given, you know, given plenty. So I would say those 3 guys in Texas are 3 of the ones that I look up.
It doesn't get any better than that, man. It doesn't. No. And like, you know, you said like steal from Ronnie and steal from Brad Paisley. Like you should pick their brains, all of those guys. You should pick every single part of their brain that you possibly can, or else you're doing yourself a disservice, like at the end of the day, point blank. And you know, the fact that you have guys like that, like in your corner and around you and, you know, available when needed and just guys that seem, well, again, personally, I don't know any of them. Would I love to? Yeah. I don't know any of them, but I love every single one of them. Right. You know, I was driving to work this morning at 6 a.m. and I'm listening to Cost of Living in my car, singing my ass off at 6 a.m. Why am I doing that? God only knows. But
I love that. I love Ronnie's that solo record. That's
oh my God. It's so underrated. It's so underratedly good.
Absolutely.
I mean, yesterday, you should have seen me yesterday. I had the coolest retro Brooks and Dunn t-shirt on. It was the coolest thing. And it was like the red and the blue and then the, like the fire, the fire shirt. Yeah. The coolest one. Right. And so I just, I love all that stuff. And I love that those guys are guys that you look up to and guys that you, you know, pull from and are inspired by, because it shows in your music and you're really talented. You know, that there's no two ways around that. You are 25 years old. You're a hell of a lot more talented than I am. And you always will be. And honestly, if I'm you, those guys, to be able to say that you are, you know, in the same sentence as those guys is pretty awesome. So
I mean, appreciate that, man.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm stoked for this EP. I'm excited for everyone to hear this beautiful song. I truly mean that. It is just a absolute wonderful song and a great tribute to your grandfather. And you know, I'm excited for this record. I'm excited for everything you got coming up. Just to be along for the journey is a pleasure. I appreciate you coming to hang out with me. And you know, I hope that you get everything and then some out of, you know, this crazy thing we call life. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate you.
Of course. Everybody, you can go follow Hayden on Instagram at Hayden Baker Official, all one word. Go follow him, keep up with music announcements and music video announcements and show announcements and all that good stuff. You might see a video of Brad Paisley on here somewhere too. And not at all. you know, go follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. You got about 150 episodes to choose from. So if you love country music, give it a shot. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the RCM Podcast. Can't thank you enough. That's Hayden Baker. I'm Kyle Corbus. We'll see you next week. Bye bye.